Now, a preview of our next tale.
Lightning strikes again. I never dreamed it would, did you?
Well, it's a slightly different bolt of lightning this time. Not the devil. The white goddess, I believe the notice said.
I copied it down. On February 8th, at 6 o'clock in the evening, the white goddess will run naked through the members' lounge.
Cudworth, just who is the white goddess?
Daughter of Astarte, I believe.
And, just who is Astarte? I'm sorry not to be up on these things, but...
I believe Astarte is the goddess of fertility and sexual love.
You don't say. You don't believe she'll run naked across the members' lounge, do you?
I didn't believe the devil would come down the chimney.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. The kidnappings of a publisher's daughter and a newspaper's editor have turned out to be poles apart politically, as well as at opposite ends of the country. I'm Steve Young, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Finally, Thursday night, more than a day after Reg Murphy was kidnapped, the Atlanta Constitution received a tape made by him. How it got from Murphy's kidnappers to the paper still is not clear. He voiced their name, the American Revolutionary Armies, their ransom demand, $700,000, and their complaint. The news media is too leftist. The newspaper says it will pay the ransom. The ARA also is calling for the resignation of all federally elected officials, promising to, quote, return the American government to the American people. Murphy's release is not conditioned, though, upon those terms being met. About the only thing the right-wing ARA has in common with the left-wing Symbionese Liberation Army, which kidnapped Patricia Hearst, is that few, if any, non-members heard of either group before they made their moves. One excerpt from the Murphy tape indicates timing of the kidnappings was to be coordinated, but nothing else.
I have been asked to tell you that my abduction was planned at the same time that the Symbionese Liberation Army abducted Ms. Hearst, and that there were circumstances which made it difficult to do that at that time. I think it's fair that the two groups don't work in concert at all. They don't share, if I understand it, the same goals and don't work in the same way.
The voice of Reg Murphy kidnapped some 29 hours ago. The latest on the Hearst kidnapping in a minute.
This is your captain. Hope you're enjoying the gourmet dinners our lovely stewardesses are serving you. We've got a movie that's a real thriller right after dessert.
Alice?
You know that guy in 12B?
Yeah, the one with his feet in the air.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He wants prunes for dessert.
Prunes? Are you kidding?
There are still a lot of people who laugh at prunes. But now quite a few are finding out how good they really are. They're a great natural source of quick energy. And pound for pound, prunes have 8 times the vitamin A of the leading fresh fruit. What's more, prunes are loaded with iron, something you gals will be interested in knowing. And they have more niacin and vitamin B2 than the 5 leading fresh fruits.
If you hear laughter during the horror movie, you'll know it got his prunes.
Right, because you served him, not me.
California prunes, The funny fruit that does so much for you.
In San Francisco, food distribution to the poor is to begin in the morning at 4 pickup points. But the Symbionese Liberation Army, which kidnapped Randolph Hearst's daughter Patricia 2.5 weeks ago, says the $2 million program agreed to by Hearst isn't enough. It wants $4 million more. There are mixed opinions as to the feasibility of meeting that $6 million demand. The administrator of the Hearst plan said he's confident food donations will top the demand. But the purchasing agent says that as a result of the tight food market and transportation problems, he's scraping the bottom of the barrel just to get enough food for the initial $2 million program. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has told Latin American foreign ministers meeting in Mexico City that top-level negotiations on a new Panama Canal treaty will start in May in Washington. That, according to a U.S. official, who also said Kissinger has indicated Washington's willingness to work out interim offshore fishing rights with Latin American nations, which claim sovereignty to 200 miles. This country only claims and recognizes 12-mile rights. Pennsylvania service station owners are threatening to shut down at 6 p.m. Friday to protest the federal gasoline allocation plan. Federal Energy Chief William Simon met with 7 governors in Washington Thursday. Later, one of the governors, Daniel Evans of Washington State, said Simon was considering whether to allow higher prices and preferential treatment for regular customers, a decision expected soon. Back in a minute.
Sophia Loren, as beautiful as erotic dreams, great cook, great crook, cheat you at cards anytime. The writer, believe it or not, is the actor Richard Burton. His beautifully written tribute to Sophia, another leading lady of his life, appears exclusively in the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. Richard writes that Sophia is treated like a queen. She should be. She is one, observes Burton, who says Sophia tends to correct his spoken English and his acting. I always obey, writes Richard. She's always right. Sophia Loren by Richard Burton in the Journal. Also in this issue, a preview of a startlingly candid new book about Joan, the tormented Kennedy. Martha Mitchell's life today with a first-time ever photo tour of her lonely New York dream house. Also in the Journal, how much do Jackie's clothes really cost? Sylvia Porter's tax tips and Mia Farrow models Great Gatsby fashions. All in the new Ladies Home Journal, The Priceless Environment. On newsstands now.
Iran says it's ready to deposit $1 billion with the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund to help poor nations hurt by rising oil prices. Iran would get commercial interest rates on the money, which would be used to make long-term low-interest loans. The Egyptian newspaper Al-Ahram says censorship on foreign newsmen has been lifted for all subjects except military stories. I'm Steve Young, CBS News.
The CBS Mystery Theater follows directly on KOIN in Portland.
This is Radio 97 News Headlines. The Oregon legislature appears to have failed in efforts to adjourn by tomorrow night. Governor Tom McCall has ordered that state mediators and hearings officers from the Public Employees Relation Board be given top priority for use of the state motor pool. Meantime, Governor McCall has asked 16 major oil companies serving Oregon to allocate 13% more gasoline monthly to the state. Two men charged with kidnapping a Harrisburg teenager appeared today in U.S. District Court. And prostitution charges have been dismissed against 6 San Francisco area women arrested in Portland. The Portland-Vancouver area weather forecast, showers of rain or snow tonight with a 1 to 2 inch accumulation possible in surrounding foothills. Decreasing showers and partial clearing Friday. Mostly cloudy Saturday with a chance of rain late in the day. The low at night, 30 to 35 degrees. The high during the day, 44 to 48 degrees. It's presently downtown Portland, 38 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the fear you can hear. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. We are about to bring you a tale of magic. What a word, magic. What do we mean by magic? What are we thinking when we say something is magical? Why, only that we do not understand how it came to be, or even what it is that came to be. Or, for that matter, if it ever really did come to be.
I was standing between the windows. Those two big windows, you know, the ones with the great pier glass in between. And I was looking straight ahead, so I can't say that I saw the door open, because I didn't. But all of a sudden, there was this terrible confusion. Men jumping from their chairs, some looking frightened, half out of their wits, others with expressions of joy and anticipation, some of them crying out. Was it horror? Was it surprise? Was it delight? I couldn't tell. It was all mixed up.
Our mystery drama, The Walls of Jericho, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Robert Dryden. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Did you say God? Well, I know him by everything you say and do. Did you say God? Well, I've seen him every time I look at you. He's touched you with his love.
A truce of violence. It can come true in your life. The community of God. Make it your way. This message is brought to you by Religion and American Life.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Janssen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Janssen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Janssen Beach.
Little girl.
Christine is dead.
She was laughing.
My daughter is dead.
Oh, but she's laughing.
In the 50s, it was Psycho. In the 60s, it was Rosemary's Baby. In the 70s, it is...
Please.
Don't Look Now. Paramount Pictures presents Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland in Daphne du Maurier's psychic thriller, Don't Look Now. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent or guardian. Don't Look Now.
Starts Wednesday at the 104th Street Drive-In, the Esquire Theater, and at the Eastmoreland Theater.
Anything can have magic. A name, a poem, a face, a touch, a phrase of music, a sudden silent thought that brushes across the mind, but it won't be captured. No, not magic. For magic merely happens. Watch out. Ready or not, here it comes.
It's cold in here, don't you think, Cudworth?
Well, Drindle's gone to fetch another log.
He'd best hurry, or the fire will have burned itself out completely.
That's asking a bit much, isn't it? For Drindle to hurry...
I suppose one shouldn't ask too much.
Ah, oh, poor old Drindle.
How old is he now? What will be your guess, Ashley?
I wouldn't hazard one. He's been steward at the club since before I became a member.
Ah, here he comes.
I don't like to see him carrying a log that size. Oh, Drindle.
You wanted something, Mr. Ashley?
A half an hour ago, Drindle, I asked for a brandy and soda.
But you have your brandy, Mr. Ashley.
Ah, but have I my soda?
Haven't you? Oh, Oh, you haven't. I'll get it for you right away, sir. Right away.
Possess your soul in patience, Esther.
Well, the club should really start to think of retiring him, wouldn't you say?
Start to think? That's all we ever do. We never actually get on with the thinking, do we?
Oh, hello. Everybody, have you seen this?
Who's making that racket?
Higgins just came in.
Oh, him.
Have you seen it? Have you?
Seen what, Higgins?
Well, I just took it off the bulletin board, Winthrop. Well, now you're president of the club. You should be the first. Read it aloud.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon of January 12th, the devil will come down the chimney of the fireplace in the members' lounge.
Let's see that.
I just this minute took it off the bulletin board.
Now, who's playing jokes around here? Now, who wrote this? Did anyone here put this notice up on the bulletin board? Now,
let me see it, Winthrop. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon of January 12th, the devil will come down the chimney of the fireplace in the members' lounge. What the...
that fireplace right there.
Sounds very interesting.
Not interesting at all. Just a feeble attempt to be funny.
But it wasn't on the bulletin board this morning.
Well, it wasn't there an hour ago when I came in from dinner. Now, was it, Cutworth?
Well, I certainly didn't see it.
Well, somebody put it there.
The devil could have put it there.
Oh, rubbish.
Well, he might have. He's very ingenious, I've heard.
Now, let's not let ourselves be carried away, Higgins.
Mr. Ashley, sir?
What is it?
Your soda, sir.
Well, set it down. Edwindle, have you seen this?
What is it, sir?
Mr. Higgins found it pinned to the bulletin board. Here, read it.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, January 12th, the devil will shimmy the fireplace in the members' lounge. What does it mean?
It means that the devil will come down that chimney at 4 o'clock on January 12th. That's what it means.
Oh, surely not, Mr. Higgins.
Definitely not.
It's a joke, isn't it?
Of course it is.
But, on the other hand...
Really, Cutworth, you and your other hand.
Let's mark it down as a joke till we know better.
At least until then.
Anyway, until the afternoon of January 12th at 4 o'clock.
Come to the table.
Boobies, every one of them.
My oatmeal get cold.
Oats, clods.
Don't blame me if it's spoiled.
I bamboozled them like the bunch of noodles they are.
Anytime you'd care to state what you're talking about, I'm all ears, as the saying goes. Meantime, come sit down.
Esteemed high and mighty members of the Ralph Waldo Emerson Gentlemen's Club, from the president, the exalted Mr. Amos Winthrop, on down.
Oh, them.
Imbeciles.
Now, you didn't go making trouble, did you?
That remains to be seen.
Because they're just waiting for an excuse to give you the sack. You're not so young anymore.
I know that, Martha.
Not always. Strictly teetotal on the job, I suspect.
I'm never drunk. Well, a man needs to be a little elevated to spend 10 hours a day with those Back Bay snobs, but I flim-flammed them.
Now, look here, Timothy Drindle. Don't you go doing anything to raise the hackles on those gentlemen.
Nincompoops.
Because if they should give you the old heave-ho, you know where you'd wind up, don't you? Right here at home with me, and I won't have that.
They're not about to fire me, not right away. As a matter of fact, it's I who may have lighted a small fire under them. And they should be starting to feel the heat of it soon now. Very soon.
Timothy, what have you done?
Oh, nothing very much. I only posted a notice on the bulletin board, that's all.
What kind of a notice?
A modest little notice stating that on January 12th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the devil would descend the chimney of the fireplace in the members' lounge.
You said the devil?
You should have seen the excitement, especially Mr. Higgins. Oh, he's such an emotional little man.
You invoked the name of the devil?
No, I did no such thing.
You summoned up the devil?
No, I played a joke on those superior snobs who've been taking me for a joke all these years. That's all I did.
Oh, once you summon up the devil, Timothy, it's not so easy to send him back where he came from.
Will you stop it, Martha? I only want to make them worry, those fine gentlemen who've never had a care in the world since the day they were born.
Worry how? About what?
Worry. Will he come down the chimney? Oh, they'll worry from now to the 12th of January, and I'll be there 10 hours a day to watch them worry.
And if his satanic majesty does come down the chimney, what then?
Oh, he won't. He won't. I wrote the notice myself, and old Beelzebub didn't dictate it either, if that's what you're thinking.
No, I'm thinking you've started something, Timothy, that he won't be able to stop.
Your coffee, Mr. Winthrop?
Oh, thank you, Drindle. That's quite a fire you've got going there.
I always try to keep up a good smart blazer.
Nothing special about this particular fire, Drindle?
No, sir.
It's January 12th, Drindle. And precisely 3 minutes before 4 in the afternoon.
Is it indeed, sir?
Oh, come off it, Drindle. Surely you're not indifferent to the heralded appearance of the Prince of Darkness down the chimney.
Well, it's really no concern of mine, Mr. Winthrop.
No, the membership doesn't share your aplomb, Drindle. Lounges filled to overflowing.
So it is, sir, and I'd best stir myself. Other gentlemen will be wanting coffee.
Bring me a brandy, Drindle, if you have the time.
All the time in the world, Mr. Higgins.
Old Drindle's the only cool character in the room. Even Ashley, who thinks this whole thing's nonsense. Ashley doesn't even believe the devil exists, for goodness sakes. Well, he's still been sitting on that little hassock by the fireplace since noon. I tried to get him to lunch with me, but he wouldn't budge.
Oh, suspects a trick, no doubt.
What do you?
Well, it is possible, I suppose.
But who'd want to play a trick like that? I mean, even if someone wanted to, how'd he go about it? Now, suppose something, someone, descends that chimney at 4 o'clock, as I am firmly persuaded he will. Who or what could do that? There's a great roaring fire going.
Drindle saw to that.
Well, suppose someone with a perverse sense of humor should toss a dummy down the chimney. We'd find it afterward.
Well, none of it was reduced to ashes.
But something would remain. It couldn't all burn up. Am I right?
Well, ask Cudworth. He's the brainy one.
Gentlemen, all prepared for the big moment?
Hello, Cudworth.
Only the devil himself could survive a trip down that chimney. Am I right, Cudworth?
I'd say so, yes.
It's nearly time.
Nervous?
Well, I don't know what to think. I mean, I don't know what to expect.
The whole thing is nerve-wracking. Positively devastating.
It's time.
What's
that? It's him! It's him! The devil himself! He's there! See him? There he is!
There is certainly something there.
Someone?
Oh, it's the devil! It's old Harry! The devil!
Is it really the fiend?
Look at him! Standing in the flames! He's laughing!
Is he really laughing?
Oh, that old serpent! Look at him!
He's gone!
No, he's not! He's still there! In the flames! No. Laughing in the flames! He's Now he's gone.
Well, that was quite an experience.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. Oh, really extraordinary.
Well, now, are you all satisfied?
What do you mean by that, Ashley?
His satanic majesty failed to put in an appearance.
Of course he put in an appearance.
You didn't see him?
Don't tell me you did.
Of course we did. He was all in black.
No, he was dressed in red.
Black and red, I thought.
Well, he had red hair.
You couldn't see his hair. He wore a cap.
I saw his hair. It was sort of waving in the flames, a draft or something, but it never caught on fire.
I distinctly remember noticing that.
He wore a cap. You couldn't see his hair, and his mustache was black.
No cap.
A cap and a big black cape. He kept his cape around him all the time he was standing
there. Yes, but the cape was red, a very bright red.
Now listen to yourselves. Listen, will you? You all saw him. You all say you did. But each of you saw something different. Red cape, black and red cape. Why, it's ludicrous.
It is not ludicrous at all. We were all overexcited, all worked up over this thing, and maybe our accuracy, our powers of observation were impaired. That's possible. Except, I know he wore a big black cape.
Beg pardon, Mr.
Higgins. Yeah, don't bother me now, Drindle.
Your brandy, sir.
Now, Drindle, settle this argument for us, will you? What was the devil wearing?
That devil, sir.
What was he wearing when he came down the chimney?
I wouldn't know, sir. I was not in the lounge. I was fetching Mr. Higgins' brandy. Did the devil make an appearance, sir?
How then was the devil dressed? Oh, he was in his Sunday best. His coat was red, and his breeches blue. And there was a hole where his tail came through. Those charming lines were written by Mr. Robert Southey at the turn of the century. But not our century. No. 100 years before. Clearly, the devil had time to acquire a new suit of clothes. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway. If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Naturally carbonated. Which means Bud brews its own bubbles. Tiny ones over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way. The right way. Naturally. But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
But they advertised this chair for $50, and now they won't sell it to me. They're even trying to get me to buy one for $100. Isn't there anyone who can tell me what to do?
I can, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. And when someone advertises an item and then won't sell it to you when you come into the store, but tries to get you to purchase something at a higher price, you may be the victim of a scheme known as bait and switch. Don't fall for it. In most places, it's illegal.
Oh, sir, how can I ever thank you?
No need to thank me, madam. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for. To help consumers get a fair deal.
Did the devil indeed descend the chimney of the Ralph Waldo Emerson Club in the afternoon of January 12th? And stand laughing in the flames? There isn't complete agreement among the club members even now. More than a month later.
Cudworth, I have to talk to you.
Sit down, Winthrop.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
It wouldn't do any good to take it down from the bulletin board, I suppose.
Well, half the membership's already seen it and told the other half.
Lightning strikes again. I never dreamed it would, did you?
Well, it's a slightly different bolt of lightning this time. Not the devil. The white goddess, I believe the notice said.
I copied it down. On February 8th, at 6 o'clock in the evening, the White Goddess will run naked through the members' lounge.
Naked, eh?
Cudworth, just who is the White Goddess?
Daughter of Astarte, I believe.
And, just who is Astarte? I'm sorry not to be up on these things, but it's not really in my area of concern.
I believe Astarte is the goddess of fertility and, sexual love.
You don't say. Well, that would account for her being naked, wouldn't it? Cudworth, do we still believe in such things? Goddesses of sexual love?
Why shouldn't there be such a goddess? And why shouldn't she have a daughter? And why shouldn't the daughter be called the White Goddess?
You don't believe she'll run naked across the members' lounge, do you?
I didn't believe the devil would come down the chimney.
But you did see him, didn't you?
Yeah. Or something that looked very like him. Assuming, of course, I know what the devil looks like.
Cudworth, I saw his horns.
Did you indeed?
Have you seen it? Have you seen the notice?
Yes, we've seen it.
Do you know that members are pouring in from all over the country?
Oh, no.
Members that haven't been inside the club in 20 years. We can't even begin to put them up. Half of them are stopping at hotels.
Oh, heaven help us. Oh, cheer up, Winthrop. There's a chance the White Goddess won't show.
I don't know, Cudworth. I have a sinking feeling that she will.
There isn't an empty hotel room in the whole of Boston.
Why are you doing this, Timothy? What are you getting out of it?
I'm getting something off my own back, that's what.
I'll never understand you.
Well, you haven't up to now, that's for sure.
You're playing jokes on people at your age.
It's no joke.
Well, I don't know what else you could call it.
It's a plot. A plot to make them squirm, those fine gentlemen with their fancy ways. Why should they go through their entire lives without knowing a moment's uncertainty or a pang of anxiety? They're always so damn sure of themselves. Now, they're not sure any longer. They're divided amongst themselves already on the subject of the devil. I hear them jawing away about it in the lounge. Was he there or wasn't he? What did he look like? What did he wear? Mr. Higgins says red. Mr. Winthrop says red and black. Mr. Cudworth says nothing at all, just looks wise. And Mr. Ashley says the devil never came down the chimney at all, so they're every last one of them crazy. I tell you, that chatter and their argument was driving me right up the wall. But I put a stop to it, all right.
You... And just how did you manage to do that?
By putting up the notice about the White Goddess. That's how. Now they're all talking about her.
And when is this White Goddess making her debut?
6 o'clock tonight.
And is she coming down the chimney?
No. No, as the notice says, on February 8th at 6 o'clock in the evening, the White Goddess will run naked through the members' lounge.
Where will she come from?
How should I know? I only wrote the notice. But I think it would be nice if she came in through the main door and went out through a window. Yes, that would be rather nice.
The room is filling up.
It's amazing.
Oh, I don't know. It isn't often, if ever, any of us gets to see the White Goddess run naked across the lounge.
You think they really believe?
Well, who knows what they believe.
Cudworth, do you believe?
I'm here, as you see.
I suppose that's the only possible answer.
Well, it's the only one you're going to get. Do you believe, Winthrop?
Like you, I'm here.
What? What's the time? Time. Cudworth, you always have the right time.
Mr. Higgins, the clock on the mantel is exactly right. Oh,
2 minutes to 6. Mind if I sit down?
We've been saving this chair for you, Higgins.
Oh, that's nice of you. Well, the lounge is pretty well filled up, isn't it?
Bursting at the seams.
Oh, I've been studying all about the White Goddess.
Daughter of Astarte, who in turn is the goddess of fertility and sexual love.
Oh, you knew that.
Cudworth told me.
Cudworth, you really do know everything.
On the contrary, I know very little.
Well, you've always seemed to me to know everything.
That's because you know less.
Well, mind if I join you?
Well, there's no place to sit, actually.
Oh, what a pity.
Well, you could sit on the floor.
Now, how would I look sitting on the floor when the White Goddess comes running across the lounge? No, I think I shall join old Drendle over by the window. Perhaps he'll fetch me a brandy.
No, you haven't time. It's nearly six.
Oh, you mean I might miss her goddesship? Oh, my, that would never do.
Oh, jeez. That ass doesn't believe she'll appear.
Why did he bother to come here at all?
Because if he doesn't believe, neither does he disbelieve.
Just look at him. Laughing and joking with Drindle.
That's probably the first time he's ever spoken to Drindle, except to give him an order.
You could say that about most of us, myself included.
Yeah, Drindle's getting old.
Poor old Drindle.
Oh, it's time. The time has come. Oh, look at it. Look at her. She's beautiful.
Sublime.
Oh, White Goddess. Oh, heavenly thing.
I never thought I should live to see anything so beautiful. The most exquisite thing I ever saw. Whatever shall see.
Where did she go? She was here such a little time.
She disappeared through the window.
The wall, I think.
No, through the window. The one back of where Ashley's standing with Drindle. I saw Ashley turn and look out the window. Just as she vanished.
You don't think it's possible he saw her too?
Oh, no. Not Ashley.
Well, Ashley?
What?
If you could stop staring at the stars, I'd like to ask you something.
Magnificent.
Yes, the stars are magnificent, but I have something else in my mind.
Well, what's troubling you, Cudworth?
Why, nothing very much, Ashley. Is something troubling you?
The way she disappeared. Simply melted into the astral light.
Who melted into the astral light, Ashley?
Why, the White Goddess. Oh, don't tell me you didn't see her.
Oh, yes. I saw her.
Radiant in all her nakedness. Glowing like mother of pearl. Her long hair flying out behind her. Oh, but then you saw her.
Yes.
Now, the others, did they see her?
Oh, yes.
Of course. Oh, everyone must have seen her. Now, Drindle.
Yes, sir?
You saw her.
No, Mr. Ashley.
Oh, come now, Drindle. Of course you saw her. We were standing here together, side by side.
I didn't see anything, Mr. Ashley.
Now, don't tell me you didn't see anything, you old liar.
Well, I was busy with something.
You were not busy with something. We were standing here talking, and the clock struck six, and the door opened, and she came in. And she ran. Her feet hardly touched the floor. Ran across the lounge to this window, this one right here. Why, her shoulder brushed mine. I felt it. My left shoulder. Now, don't tell me you didn't see her, or I'll break your back.
Now, don't excite yourself, Ashley.
The most beautiful spectacle it's ever been the good fortune of any of us to witness. And this numbskull Drindle stands there and tells me he didn't see it. He was busy with something. Oh, I won't stand for it. You listen to me, you fool. It's blasphemy. Unadulterated blasphemy for you to deny that you saw what I saw. What we all saw. Now, say it. Say you saw the White Goddess run across this lounge, didn't you? Didn't you? You say it or I'll choke the life out of you.
Ashley, this is going too far.
He saw her. I know, he saw her.
Now, Mr. Ashley, please, you're choking me.
He saw it. He's going to admit it.
Ashley!
Oh, why couldn't you stay out of this, Cudworth?
Now, you might have killed him. Are you all right, Drindle?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right.
Oh, Ashley, go into the bar and buy yourself a drink. You need it.
Yes, I need it. I need it, all right.
You're sure you're all right, Lindell?
Yes, quite. Quite sure, Mr. Cudworth.
Oh, by the way, Drendel, did you see the White Goddess or didn't you? You don't need to be afraid to tell me. Either way.
I didn't see anything, Mr. Cudworth. You see, I was busy with something and I... No, I didn't see anything at all.
I think I must be getting on home.
Yes, it's been quite an evening, isn't it? Quite an evening.
A never-to-be-forgotten evening.
Beautifully put, Ambrose. Well, come along. I'll drop you off.
Thank you. So long, everyone.
Night, all. Ho-ho! Wake up, Ashley.
Yes, I'll wait for you.
Well, Cudworth, a never-to-be-forgotten evening. Well, at any rate, one I'll never forget.
I fancy none of us will ever forget.
You leaving now?
No. I'm going to stay until the room's cleared.
It's about cleared now. Nobody much left?
I want to speak to old Brindle. He doesn't look too happy.
That was quite a going over Ashley gave him, wasn't it?
Looked that way. Ashley can be a rough man.
Can't he, though?
Well, I'm off for home. Night, Winthrop.
Night, Goodworth.
A never-to-be-forgotten night.
Oh, Drindle.
Yes, Mr. Winthrop.
May I speak to you for a minute?
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Winthrop, of course.
You all right?
Perfectly all right.
I couldn't help noticing you and Mr. Ashley seem to be having an altercation of some sort.
Mr. Ashley was angry, sir, because I wouldn't say I saw the White Goddess.
And why wouldn't you say you saw the White Goddess?
Because I didn't see her.
But we all saw her, Drindle. Even Mr. Ashley saw her.
She wasn't there.
Oh, my dear man, she was there. She ran across the lounge all naked, just as the notice said she would. Now, why do you persist in denying it?
Because I wrote the notice.
Oh, Drindle.
And I wrote the other one, too, about the devil coming down the chimney. I wrote them both, and I made them up out of my head.
Why are you lying to me, Drindle?
I'm not lying, sir.
But of course you're lying. I don't know why you're lying. Perhaps to make yourself important in our eyes.
I am not lying.
But we all saw her, Drindle. It was the most exquisite moment of our lives. We saw her. Therefore, you're lying.
All minds are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a White Goddess. We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
Last Tango in Pittsburgh.
There I was at Raoul's All Night Tango Lounge.
My little orchid, will you tango with me?
It was Raoul.
You're a splendid dancer.
Thank you.
But what was that?
I was what?
That sound effect.
Oh, I'm a few pounds overweight, and this ball and chain points out how my extra weight can get in the way.
I'm pointing you back to your chair.
Our heroine decided to lose that extra weight. She exercised and ate smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast. A bowl of Special K, skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and 100% delicious. After a while, she was rid of the ball and chain and back at Raoul's.
Darling, you're looking fantastic.
What a happy ending.
What ending? We're just getting started.
Raoul, get lost.
Your happy ending could begin
with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
And that's another tale of the fallen chain.
Your Heart Association presents the National High Blood Pressure Test.
I'll probably fork. I'm not even sure what it is.
Well, high blood pressure is a common disorder. Maybe 21 million Americans have it. Half of them don't even know they have it.
Oh, would I know if I had it?
No, only your doctor can tell. Are you ready for the test?
Are you taking my blood pressure?
No, it's a true or false test. Now, you'll hear when you're right and when you're wrong. Now, first, headaches, dizziness, and fatigue are all definite symptoms of high blood pressure.
False.
You're right. There are no constant symptoms. Second, blood pressure varies every hour. It goes up when we're excited, down when we rest.
Oh, false.
No, you're wrong. That's true.
Oh, darn.
Now, third, when blood pressure goes up and stays up, it could lead to heart attack, stroke, and kidney trouble.
True.
Right.
Oh, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Not bad at all. And those listening who'd like to bone up for the next National High Blood Pressure Test can get a free booklet on the subject at their local heart association.
Support the work of your Heart Association with a generous contribution to the Heart Fund.
Have you read your Shakespeare lately? If you have, you'll remember Hamlet's observation to his friend. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. If you haven't read your Shakespeare, now for the third act of The Walls of Jericho.
Come eat your breakfast, Timothy. It's on the table.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. They're trying to ruin me.
Oh, he's off again.
I never even turned around when I heard them whispering behind my back. Drindle's getting on. Poor Drindle. Drindle's had a drop too much.
That part's true, all right.
But when they called me a liar, and to my face, I don't have to take that.
Who called you a liar?
Mr. Amos Winthrop, the president of the club. The highest mucky-muck of all the high mucky-mucks, that's who.
Well, what kind of a lie did you tell him?
No lie. I told him no lie. I told him the God's own truth. That I had written those notices and put them up on the bulletin board. The one about the devil coming down the chimney and the one about the white goddess running naked across the lounge as well.
Why wouldn't he believe you?
Because he's a fool. The biggest fool in a pack of fools.
I said, why wouldn't he believe you?
He says he saw the devil, saw him come down the chimney and stand in the flames, and that most of the others saw him too. All but Mr. Ashley and a few other disbelievers.
Oh, you should never have invoked the devil. I told you that at the time.
But even Mr. Ashley is saying that he saw the white goddess run across the lounge. Radiant in her nakedness, she says, glowing like mother of pearl. Imagine Mr. Ashley talking like that. He says she brushed up against him, against his shoulder, and then went out through the window and melted into the astral light. Mr. Ashley, of all people.
Maybe it happened.
How could it have happened when I made it all up?
Well, come, eat your breakfast.
No. Well, I can't. I'm too upset.
You're more upset than they are. Those fine gentlemen, you were going to teach a lesson.
Oh, don't you worry. I'll fix them. I'll put up another notice.
Oh, no, Timothy. Don't start up
again. Only this time, I'll make it so crazy, so outlandish, they'll see that it's only a joke. They won't be able to help themselves. Yeah, now, let's see. Where's the pen? And a piece of paper. Now, what shall I... I need to get them excited, all worked up, waiting for something, and then to let down when it doesn't happen. That's what I'm after. Yes, I've got it. On March the 2nd at 5 o'clock... You see, they'll all be having drinks in the lounge about that time. At 5 o'clock... A leopard will enter. Not a leopard. A tiger will enter the members' lounge. How's that?
As long as you don't make it the devil.
No. Better yet, 3 tigers will enter the members' lounge. No. I don't like enter. It's too sedate sounding, too tame. Will come through the windows. No, we'll crash through the windows. Yes, that's good. Crash through the windows of the members' lounge. There. That should put Mr. Winthrop in his place.
Somehow, Timothy, I don't think you were born to put Mr. Winthrop in his place.
Ah, that's where you're wrong, Martha. It's precisely what I was born for, and this'll do it. Wait a minute. I thought of something else.
What now?
Listen to this. On March the 2nd at 5 o'clock, three tigers will crash through the windows of the members' lounge, one of them carrying a chicken in his mouth.
Oh.
Yeah. How's that, Martha? Huh? How's that? Oh, that's perfect.
Drindle.
Mr. Winthrop, yes, sir.
Stir up that fire, will you?
Yes, sir.
That's fine.
Would you like another log, sir?
No, that'll do it, I think. Weather's letting up a bit.
Yes, it seems to be. You're in the club a bit early today, sir.
Yes, a bit. Why, yes, it's only a little after four.
Are you waiting for the tigers, sir?
How's that?
I just thought perhaps you might have wanted to be the first one on hand when the tigers crash through, that's all.
You're being impertinent, Drindle. That's very unlike you, Drindle.
Is it, sir?
Same as you're lying. It was unlike you to lie to me.
Yeah, I suppose it was.
You know it was. Now, you're not going to tell me the latest notice on the bulletin board was also your invention, are you?
I'm not going to tell you anything, Mr. Winthrop.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I'm sure you'll agree that it's not my place to tell you anything.
I most certainly and emphatically do agree.
I thought you would.
Not that I'm certain that the three tigers will crash through the windows. No, I'm not certain at all. It's absurd on the face of it, isn't it?
Most absurd.
Three tigers. Well, now.
Perfectly ridiculous.
And one with a chicken in his mouth.
Ha, 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 it's laughable.
Well, don't laugh. Because it just may happen. Precisely as the notice predicts. We simply do not know.
I promise not to laugh.
Nervous, Cudworth?
A few flutters. It's the uncertainty, of course.
I've been here since 4 o'clock. Can you imagine that?
I had a hard time staying away myself.
I had a few sharp words earlier with Drindle. Sorry to say. The old man's getting very independent, very opinionated.
Where is he? He's usually around taking drink orders by now.
He's standing over there by the main door looking very superior. We really have to retire that fellow, Cudworth.
Winthrop! Cudworth, do you realize? Do you realize people are standing outside on the sidewalk? This isn't a club matter anymore. It's spread all over the city.
Oh, I can't say I care for that.
It looks like hundreds of people. I tried to get Ashley to be with us for the great event, but he insists on his post by the window.
Ashley by the window, old Drindle by the main door. Well, we're well covered.
We should be quiet. It's time.
I don't think our conversation will either deter or encourage the tigers.
Yes, but all the same, quiet.
I
don't know. Well, here's Ashley. Maybe he knows something. Ashley, what happened?
Old Drindle's dead.
Oh, no.
How did it happen?
Heart attack, apparently.
Not the tigers?
There isn't a scratch on him. They simply jumped over him, knocked down the big door, and disappeared.
Old Drindle never believed in the tigers.
Oh,
is it conceivable he didn't see them?
Oh, he saw them all right.
Well, how can you be sure?
Well, don't you remember, just before the tigers reached the door, he called for help.
He saw them. He called for help. And he died.
Of fright, do you think?
Can you think of anything more frightening than the sight of something you never believed in coming to get you?
Let's step in here for a few minutes, gentlemen. We won't be disturbing you, Katie, if we use part of the lounge, will we?
What happened in here, Mr. Winthrop? Who upset all the furniture?
A little fracas, Katie, with some unexpected visitors. Let's set our drinks down here. Pull up chairs, everybody. There's a few that weren't overturned.
Well, we'll have a new steward tomorrow. They're promoting someone from the dining room.
You'll never hold a candle to Drindle, no matter who he is.
Drindle was a good man.
If you gentlemen are going to be using this room, I can clear out and come back later.
Now, you go right ahead with your cleaning, Katie, if you don't mind sweeping around us.
It's all right with me. There certainly is a mess.
Gentlemen, I asked you to meet with me here because I have a confession to make. I'm sorry I didn't tell you before, but, well, I didn't. But now I must. After the incident of the White Goddess, gentlemen, Drindle told me that he himself had posted those notices on the bulletin board.
Drindle?
The one about the devil?
And the White Goddess, that one too?
I didn't believe him. After all, we saw the devil, most of us, and we all saw the White Goddess. And to believe Drindle would be to admit that he had the power to summon them up.
What about the three tigers?
One with a chicken in his mouth?
We saw them too.
And in all probability, so did Drindle. And the sight killed him.
Is it possible that a man like Drindle had the power to invoke such things?
Well, I must now concede that he did.
There I must take issue with you, Winthrop. Drindle only put up the notices. The power lay within us, the membership.
I, for one, claim no such power.
You, for one, have no such power, Ashley. Nor have I. Nor has Winthrop or Higgins or any member of the club separately or consciously. But unconsciously and collectively, the power is ours.
Together and without knowing it, we can do such astounding things.
Together and without knowing it, we are constantly doing astounding things, are we not? And always have. Both for good and for evil. I call your attention to the biblical story of the Battle of Jericho. We all know that stone walls cannot be shattered by a band of men marching round them, a final blast of trumpets and a great shout. We know that. And yet it happened. The walls of Jericho fell.
Why did they?
Consider the circumstances. The Israelites outside the fortress city, the eagerness, the expectancy, and above all, the desire and the belief. Consider the steady tramp of marching feet. Consider the narrowed concentration of the marchers. No man divided in his mind, and no mind divided from the mind of any other man. Consider the psychic pressure created by such a congregation.
A mass hallucination?
It was no hallucination that Jericho fell to Joshua. No. I should call it mass projection.
And that's what happened here? To us?
We. All of us. Acting in concert. Projected these apparitions by the sheer force of our unconscious minds.
Then we weren't wrong. We really saw them. The devil, the white goddess,
the three tigers.
One with a chicken in his mouth.
We really saw them, even as the walls of Jericho really fell.
Beg your pardon, sir.
What is it, Katie?
Oh, look what I swept up over by the main door, sir. If I'm not mistaken, they're chicken feathers. What's been going on here, sir?
And so ends our tale of magic. A magician performs his tricks. We are delighted and applaud, because we cannot comprehend how he did them. But what if the magician himself cannot comprehend? I'll be back shortly.
Basically, when we started the street corner scouting program, I came into the communities that had, you know, very little scouting at all. What I had to do was I had to come out here every day during the week, including Saturdays and Sundays, and go out on these same alleys with them and play the same kind of games they played, and just have a regular scouting program with them.
Did you know there's such a thing as street corner scouting? That it's bringing scouting to millions of boys who never even heard the word scouting? Did you also know that for every boy in scouting today, there's another boy who'd like to be but can't, and that the reason most of them can't is because no adult in the neighborhood thinks scouting's worth the time?
Basically, you got to go to where they are. If they're in the ballpark or behind the house or in the barn, you got to go to them.
If you don't think scouting's worth your time, you don't know enough about scouting. Find out more. Write Scouting, North Brunswick, New Jersey, 08902.
To know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. I believe that, but it's a long search and a weary one. And let's be glad that a lot of mystery remains, and there's a little magic here and there along the way. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Mary Jane Higby, Ian Martin, Ralph Bell, Guy Sorrell, and Sidney Walker. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Fontaine, I'd like to talk to you about venereal disease, which will affect 50,000 Oregonians this year. A lot of people seem too embarrassed or don't know where to get help.
That's why I want to tell you that your county health department gives free VD tests and treatment, and it's all confidential.
50,000 Oregonians. VD is a problem. This message brought to you by the Oregon Advertising Club and the University of Oregon.
This is KOIN in Boardin, our time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News. It now appears that Atlanta Constitution editor Reg Murphy has been kidnapped by a right-wing guerrilla group. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Murphy was missing more than 24 hours before his newspaper Thursday night received a tape recording of his voice. Murphy says on the tape that he was kidnapped by the American Revolutionary Armies, a group that believes the American news media is too leftist and too liberal. The group is demanding $700,000 ransom for Murphy. On the tape, Murphy also gave this account of what his abductors told him.
The American Revolutionary Army tells me that they intend in the future to engage in guerrilla warfare throughout the country. They don't intend to engage in bloodshed at this time. One of their significant demands is that all federal government officials resign and that free elections be held in the future.
One of Murphy's colleagues, William Fields of the Atlanta Constitution, says the newspaper will pay the $700,000 ransom. In Hillsborough, California, Randolph Hearst is studying a new tape recording from the kidnappers of his daughter, Patricia. On the tape, one of the abductors accused Hearst of throwing a few crumbs to the people and not acting in good faith. They demanded that Hearst add $4 million to the food distribution program he already started in an attempt to gain his daughter's freedom. I'll have more news after this message.
Hate is a poison that corrodes, an acid that erodes your body, mind, and soul. And when you hate, who do you hurt the most? Hate hurts you.
This public service message is brought to you on behalf of the Jewish Chautauqua Society.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head.
Yes, this is Gary Pike of the Letterman, and you're listening to Going Out of My Head. You know, in music, there's always something new coming up. Yesterday it was rock. Tomorrow, who knows? Same true in other fields as well, like heart research. Yesterday, open heart surgery. Tomorrow, well, that depends on you. Support your heart fund.
On Thursday, the Senate Armed Services Committee heard testimony from Navy Admiral Robert Wellander. Wellander strongly denied Wednesday's testimony by Yeoman Charles Radford, who said Wellander ordered him to steal secret documents from the White House. After Wellander's testimony, newsmen talked to Radford.
Do you still stand by your testimony? Admiral Wellander says basically you're not telling the truth.
I still stand by my testimony, most definitely.
You were instructed to take secret documents.
That is correct.
By Admirals Robinson and Wellander.
That is correct.
It was 2 days ago that Chairman John Stennis of the Armed Services Committee said the senators do not know what to make of the Radford case. In Buffalo, New York, Thursday night, fire raged through the 13-story Prudential building and caused extensive damage to the 79-year-old structure. There were no serious injuries, but one fireman and a bystander were hospitalized for smoke inhalation. Energy Chief William Simon met Thursday with seven governors who are urging more gasoline allocations for their states. Simon reportedly is thinking about action to appease many angry service station owners. His office may allow more retail price increases and may ease the ban on preferential treatment for regular customers. The White House says President Nixon told his cabinet on Thursday that there is a good chance of avoiding gasoline rationing. The American Petroleum Institute reports there were slight increases last week in both the production and the stockpiles of gasoline. President George Meany of the AFL-CIO says American workers should get pay raises of at least 10% to make up what they've lost to inflation over the last 8 months. Meany says raises well above the Nixon administration's 5.5% guideline will be needed. Meany accused President Nixon of leaving the nation in the worst economic mess in more than three decades. I'll have more news after this word.
This is Joan Crawford speaking for USO, United Service Organization. Do we, as civilians, know what it's like to be far from home in a foreign land? Listen to this real-life documentary about one of our servicemen over there.
Do you speak English?
Nein, ich spreche kein Englisch.
Excuse me, miss. I wonder if you could help me.
Nein, es tut mir leid.
Excuse me, miss. Can you help
me? Leider nicht.
Bitte schön. Do you speak English?
Nein.
Excuse me. Can you help me?
Nein.
Excuse me. Can anybody help me?
Hi, you sure can. This is the USO, and we have all kinds of help.
That's why I support USO, and you should too. USO makes a man feel closer to home while he's serving his country for you. Isn't money the least you can give? Please support USO.
The new American ambassador to the Soviet Union arrived in Moscow Thursday to take up a post that has been vacant for more than a year. The ambassador is 54-year-old Walter Stossel, a Soviet affairs expert. His predecessor, Jacob Beam, left the Soviet Union in January of 1973. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
The Oregon legislature bogged down in its drive for early adjournment today. Three major bills failed to get floor action. Legislative leaders had hoped to adjourn by tomorrow night, but now it appears likely the 10-day-old special session will extend into Saturday. The bills left pending today deal with conflict of interest, school finance, and real estate consumer protection. Meanwhile, a conference committee of both houses failed to agree on legislation giving the governor emergency powers during an energy crisis. It appears likely the House and Senate will resolve their differences tomorrow. Governor McCall says top priority for use of the State Motor Board, or POOL, should be given to employees of the Oregon Public Employees Relations Board. Mediators for the board are in the midst of contract negotiations for several school districts and other public agencies. Use of the motor pool has been sharply limited because of the gasoline shortage. Governor McCall has asked all the oil companies serving Oregon for a 13% increase in the state's monthly allocation of gasoline. Call says the increase is in line with a 5% allocation increase granted this week by the Federal Energy Office for the last part of February. The Evergreen Service Station Association has set a new deadline of noon Friday on its demands for a price increase and the right to serve preferred customers. Association members warn that if their demands are not met by that time, the organization will encourage its members to pump out their available gasoline for the month on an unrestricted basis. Meantime, Oregon Gasoline Dealers Association Executive Vice President Wayne Bolby denies a wire service report to the effect that the Oregon and Washington Service Station Associations have set a new deadline to pump their tanks dry of gasoline and close down. The report allegedly came from Washington, D.C., where representatives of the two states are conferring with federal energy officials. But Bolby says, not so.
No, that's an absolute false report out of Washington, D.C. That report did not come from Washington, D.C. It came from Seattle, Washington, and it has no substance, absolutely none. And there is not a deadline of tomorrow noon for either the Evergreen Association or Oregon Gasoline Dealers Association. I repeat that it has no substance, absolutely. Our negotiating team is going to meet again tomorrow, and there will not be any action taken until they return.
Director George Baldwin of the Oregon Transportation Department has criticized Multnomah County commissioners for withdrawing their approval of the controversial Mount Hood Freeway through southeast Portland. Baldwin says the county action is moot because of a U.S. District Court ruling that the state must conduct a new public hearing on the freeway route. Baldwin also says the commissioners were wrong to act before the governor's task force on transportation for the Portland area is finished with its report. The commissioner said they want to use federal funds for a mass transit project instead of the freeway. The purchasing agent for the Hearst Food Giveaway Program in California says a tight food market and transportation problems may make it impossible to scrape up another $4 million in food. Kenneth Baxter of Seattle says he has had to, in his words, scrape the bottom of the barrel to obtain the initial $2 million in food for the Hearst Giveaway Program. Baxter normally is the purchasing agent for the Washington State Neighbors in Need Food Distribution Program. The kidnappers of Patricia Hearst said today they want an additional $4 million in food for the poor. The 85-year-old mother of Oregon Governor Tom McCall said today she is sincere in her plans to be a candidate to succeed her son when he leaves office at the end of this year. Said Mrs. Dorothy Lawson McCall, "I may be old and I may be foolish, but I am sincere." The Portland-Vancouver vicinity weather, showers occasionally mixed with snow overnight, some accumulation possible at higher elevations, showers and partial clearing Friday, showers ending Friday night. The low tonight near 33 degrees, the high Friday in the mid-40s. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour and gusty near the shower areas. Currently in downtown Portland, it's 39 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.